Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I'm glad that you could join me today as we conclude these thoughts on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, we see that Peter had probably made a suggestion to some of the disciples that they go fishing. It might have been in his mind that they could just, you know, make a future establishment of a fishing business because all their hopes were dashed in terms of you know, the kingdom being restored. Jesus had died. You know, it was they were very discouraged. And it may have been that we don't know all that was going on in his mind, but a boat was secured, and all night long they fished without results. So obviously in the morning they were cold, hungry, discouraged. But on the shore was a barely discernible figure. He called out asking, "Have they caught any fish?" And of course the answer was no. He then directed them to cast on the right side of the boat and promised that they would find some. As they obeyed the Lord, for of course it was Jesus, into their net there was 153 great fishes. Yet miraculously the net didn't break with more, you know, with this capacity catch. So this story to us, beloved, is a living lesson. The followers of Christ must do nothing in self-will on their own. We are, each and every one of us now, creatures in Jesus, new creatures. And while we can't see Him with natural eyes, still we can rest in the assurance that He's constantly with us in spiritual presence through the Holy Spirit. And our job is to take orders from Him. And when we do, there will be plenty of fish. In the New Testament, fishing is a symbol of Christian accomplishment. On one occasion, the Lord called some of His followers with the promise that He would make them fishers of men. During the days of persecution, which followed the resurrection, the fish emblem became a trademark of the Christian faith. The initial letters of Jesus Christ, God and Savior, in the Greek, make up the word for fish. To fish was to serve acceptably and to catch men, if you will, for God. On this particular morning, the surprised disciples dragged in the net full of fishes, after which the Lord taught them another precious lesson. On the shore, He prepared a fire of coals and a hearty breakfast of fish and bread. As they sat down and fellowshiped together, they were warmed and had their, you know, physical needs met. Their hunger was satisfied. And one can readily see the gentle lesson that with true service, there's always refreshment. It was on this occasion that the risen Christ, if you remember, dealt very tenderly with the disciple Peter. Remember, he had denied Jesus three times. Now, the Lord wanted him to be fully restored. As there had been a threefold denial, now the Lord gave Peter opportunity for a threefold affirmation of his love for Christ. Peter, like many of us, had learned the hard way. Gone was the proud confidence in himself. Present was a new trust in the love of the Lord and a new reliance in the available power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. And as we know, recorded in those opening chapters of the book of Acts, he went forth to do mighty service for God, that great sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost. Following the Lord's rising from the dead, he remained on the earth for about 40 days, and he was in that time teaching and preparing the disciples for the task which now was theirs. Those must have been very rich days, for now the reason for which he had come into the world was very obvious. It was clearly discernible. The cross was now past. The resurrection had occurred. He'd risen from the dead that had taken place. Now the glorious task of the propagation of the good news of the gospel lay ahead. On this morning, the Lord again led the 11 to the top of the Mount of Olives, east of the city of Jerusalem. And while they paused there, one of the disciples asked a question. He wanted to know if the Lord planned then and there to restore to Israel the kingdom which had been promised to the fathers. And what was the Lord's response? Well, Jesus said that this was a matter which was fully in the Father's hands. Moreover, just like us, we're not to concern ourselves with the times and seasons. The church was not the kingdom, and the kingdom was not the church, but there was a definite work for the disciples to do. First, they had to go to Jerusalem for that next great event, which was the advent of the Holy Spirit into the world, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And by His coming, there would be overwhelming power available to them to become witnesses. Then, their big task was to declare who Christ was, why He had come into the world, and what He had accomplished. This witnessing, according to the Lord's specific instruction, was to begin right there in the city of Jerusalem. After that, it was to spread out into the ever-widening circles throughout the province of Judea, to the areas of Samaria on the north, and then to the uttermost parts of the known world. As the Lord gave these thrilling marching orders, suddenly He began to leave the ground. Lifted heavenward, He was lost to sight in a cloud which received Him. While the disciples searched the blue for another glimpse, they were startled by the clarion words of two angels in white who said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" This phase, obviously, of the Lord's life is past. Now, for them, as for us, there was a work to do. But they were to remember that the same Lord Jesus Christ should return in like manner as they had seen Him go into heaven someday. Blessed words of hope were these. Just as He went, He is going to return, and some of us may be alive to see that occur. So what happened? The 11 did as they were told. 10 days afterward, they came they were gathered in the upper room, and the miracle of the day of Pentecost occurred. The word of the risen Christ was given forth. 3,000 responded in one day, acknowledging Him as Lord and Savior, and joined the despised Christian sect, if you will. The good news that Christ had not only died, but had risen from the dead, came to be known to the far reaches of the civilized world. More than that, the risen Lord bore witness with them in the person of the Holy Spirit. He confirmed the word with signs following. He gave them comfort, encouragement, strength, and courage for the task. Miracles and signs accompanied their work, so the message of Easter became indeed the message of life. Jesus was born, He lived and died, and He lives forevermore. Oh, beloved, the first Easter occurred, over 2,000 years ago, and this was by far the greatest happening the world ever knew. This story is as true as God is true. The very Son of God did die in behalf of a needy world, and He rose again to offer new hope for sorrowing humanity. No longer should anyone despair, because Christ now has risen, and the joyous, wonderful news of the gospel is that we too may come to know triumphant new joy in Him. Today, we can have that same joy they experienced on that resurrection morn. It's not merely a matter of peering back and examining an empty tomb. We do not merely go over and over, the stories of Peter and John and Mary and the women at the tomb. Easter is more than empty grave clothes and earthquakes of the year 33 AD. We shall always, beloved, value the testimony of Mary Magdalene, whose sorrow turned to joy unspeakable. Our thanks will always go to Thomas. He insisted on evidence which was given him, and will continue to sympathize with Peter. He shamefully denied his Lord, but under those same circumstances, we could have done the same. But we rejoice that he asked for and received pardon, as well as restoration. In A most glorious sense, Easter is today. The risen Lord of Easter is still risen today. Not only did he bless the hearts of those who desperately needed him after his crucifixion, but beloved, today he stands fully ready to do the very same thing for sinful souls today. Wherever you might find yourself as you're listening to this broadcast, if there is sadness in your life, turn to the risen Christ, and he will give you an exchange of that sadness with joy. And if you have doubt in your heart, if your heart is not completely satisfied that all the things of God and the Bible are actually true, remember that Christ answered the questions of Thomas, and he will meet yours just as surely. And, beloved, if your life has known sin, if you've denied the Lord in one fashion or another, if you've indulged in selfishness, in wrongdoing, in sin, doesn't the story of Peter's denial and the Lord's tender dealing with him give you hope and comfort? You know, he spoke to his disciples. He said, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Oh, beloved, the glorious truth is that Jesus is alive, and he lives to affirm overwhelmingly and unmistakably that what has been said about him in the Bible is true. He lives to save all who come to him and will approach to the throne of grace. All who come to God can come through Jesus. He lives to be the bestower of spiritual abilities, of giftings, of anointings, of enablements to all who desire them. He lives as the epitome of hope and promise forever and forever. Beloved, Easter is a magnificent season of celebration because Christ is magnificent. Easter is deathless because Christ is deathless. The power of the grave was broken through him. He has the keys of death and of hell. And Easter is life because Christ is indeed alive forevermore. Praise God. Well, I pray that you've been blessed as we've shared these various thoughts about Jesus and his resurrection, that he is indeed alive. Lord, make yourself alive and real to every listener, just as you did to your disciples. Every doubt, every denial, every weakness, Lord, let those weaknesses of the flesh be overshadowed by the great and magnificent power of the risen Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you, beloved. I love you. Thank you for listening. The announcer will give you our contact information. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.